Here we are with episode 85 of the Florida Trail Runners Podcast. And this time, we are diving right into the Forgotten Florida 100 out at Christmas, Florida. I mean, it's Christmas, Florida, so you know it has to be a trail holiday. But on the chat, we've got your back-to-back champion, Max Bennett. He got it done this year with a time of 18:18:47. Then we've got your DFL, 33 hours, Jessup Sandoval. This guy, he has an amazing story from a wheelchair to 100 miles. Then we've got Josh Hamm from Fort Benning on the chat. He got out there and he got it done. And then there's Michelle Spear with her first ever 100 mile. She's on the hunt for that Cruel Jewel 100. And this race at Forgotten Florida was just a stepping stone, you know, to get that time on the feet. And of course, you know, she came home with that belt buckle. And hey, with that, let's just jump right into it.
All right, listen up. I want to help you, all of you guys, whether you're running the 50 mile, the 100 mile, or whatever distance you decide to make up during the day. Okay? I want to make sure you guys don't get lost. I want to make sure everybody's safe, has a good time. Out there, you guys might see the following. Rabbits, deer, birds, pigs, snakes, gators, bears, and the elusive Florida panther. Don't go swimming and don't go pet them. Easy enough. All right, everybody good? Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. This isn't in the runner's handbook.
It's a walking start.
All day long, Ron.
Oh. 10 miles, 20 miles, Trey, 0, 50, 60, 70 miles in, 80 miles, Forgotten Florida 100 miler complete.
Hey!
Hello!
What's up?
Just trying to heal these feet up.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, my feet are it. The rest of my body feels great, but my feet really took a beating.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, good evening.
Hello.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey.
Yeah, Josh, I'm not taking you away from the Wednesday night run club, am I?
No, not at all. I'm actually just getting home from work.
All right.
Perfect. Yeah, no run club for me tonight.
Man, dude, I miss Big Dog. That run club is really one of the best like running groups I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, they're so active. There's always someone doing something. There's always somebody, you know, ready and willing to support you and whatever you're doing. It really is just an amazing run community here.
Who was, did Lee? Lee had his birthday run recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there was another new member who had a birthday run as well.
Yeah, Michelle, we're talking about over in Georgia.
Okay.
So that's where Josh is at over at little Fort Benning.
Yeah, we ran together for quite a few miles. Well, we walked a lot, but we were together for quite a few miles. And then at the last aid station, what was that, Seminole Creek or something, I kind of ran ahead thinking that they were going to catch up with me, and I never saw them again. So you must have came in and out of the 50 mile finish line and got ahead of me.
Hey, yeah. Mac.
Yeah, I think I
Hey, how you doing, dude?
I trotted by you.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Man, the back-to-back champ is here.
Whew.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hello.
Good evening.
Man, of course those doctors would call right now.
I know.
What are the odds?
I was waiting all day for it, and then they just called.
Well, I think they, you know, those senses just tingled that you're about to talk about running, and like, oh, we got to stop them.
We can't let this happen.
Exactly.
But, oh, man. Hey, how are you guys feeling from Forgotten Florida?
Little sore.
Is that a rhetorical question? I'm pretty beat up still.
Yeah, just a tad bit, you know, worn feet, legs, little downtrodden, but mentally and spiritually, you know, on the up and up.
Yeah, you know, I guess we could kick it off with some introductions, you know, a little bit about yourselves and, you know, what's that running history?
Okay, I'll go ahead and start. I'm Josh Hamm. I'm currently an instructor here at the U.S. Army Ranger School. Some of my biggest hobbies and passions are reading, writing, obviously running, and photography. Running history, I've only been really a serious runner for the last 2 years. I really got into running during my last deployment overseas. I was looking for a new challenge to kind of dive into once I had gotten home. And sure enough, there was a 100-miler about a month after getting home. So I signed up for it, started training. Once I, you know, limped through that event, I learned a lot, loved it, ended up finishing the 100-miler, and you know, I've done 4 now in total, and a couple 50Ks, 50-milers, and I actually just completed my first official marathon a month ago, so yeah, that's pretty much my running history.
It's always nice to take the ruck off and just go with the hydration vest.
yeah. That's for sure, but you know, ultramarathons are definitely a different ball game other than you know, running just 5 milers or 10 milers is usually like the longest we do in the Army. And next.
Okay, well, I'm Michelle, and I live down here in Winter Haven in the middle of the state, and I'm a nurse. I've been running a long time, but never like anything fast or far. And a couple of years, a friend of mine got me into trail running, and we did like a few like half marathons and things like that, and I really liked it. And so a couple of years ago, I just randomly signed up for Curl Jewel because I was like, yeah, I can do that. And yeah, so I mean, honestly, doing it was like really, even though I didn't finish the first year, I really was like, this is something that I really like and really would love to do. We hike a lot. We've hiked everywhere, all over the world, so it kind of goes hand in hand. And I hired a coach last year, and she was like, you have to have at least 100-miler before you do Curl Jewel 100 this year. So she told me to sign up for this one, and kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I'll see you all at Curl Jewel.
Yeah. Yeah, I finished the 50 last year, so, and I was pretty slow and pretty not really ready for it. You know, it's just totally different. It's hard to train, I guess, consistently. Like, yeah, you can go on trips, but it's hard to train consistently for elevation.
Yeah, I can go. My name is Jessup. I make YouTube videos. I actually don't like running. So in 2013, I was hit by a snowmobile, and 2014, I was hit by a snowmobile and in a wheelchair for several months, and had surgery on both knees, and had a tibial plateau fracture, and kind of didn't think that I was really going to be able to kind of walk or like do anything normal again. And that was kind of during that entire time, I had like a catalyst of just really kind of changing my life. I think I kind of hit rock bottom and decided like really challenging myself and taking a lot of self-accountability, and I lost like 80 pounds and started doing things like I did a calendar club challenge where we did a mile equivalent to the day of the month. So it was like April 1st was 1 mile, and then we progressed all the way up to April 30th was 30 miles. So towards the end, it was like back-to-back marathons. And that obviously destroyed me, but it just taught me a lot. And then at the beginning, or so September 2021, I had set a challenge to do run a minimum of 2 miles every single day for a year. And my kind of thought behind that was if I could build a discipline around something I don't enjoy, that would really just benefit me in so many different ways. And as I kind of just began to run and doing that every single day, I decided to sign up for a 100-miler in September of last year. And it was the I'm Tough in McCall, Idaho, which is 22,000 feet of elevation and pretty deep end of the pool. 100-miler. And so 10 days before that race, I started getting back pain. And mind you, I have never done a race ever. Like, this was the first actual race. I'd obviously trained and done more than 30 miles, but I had never actually done an official race. And 10 days before that race began, I got some back pain. And I went to the ER in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and they said that they did a CT scan, and they found out that they didn't see anything on the CT. He said, like, oh, there's no fractures. You should be good to at least try it. You more than likely just pulled a muscle. And even if it was a herniated disc, you should be okay at least attempting it. And he was significantly wrong, because I attempted it anyway, and I made it about 30.5 miles, and my body just started shutting down, and it was really bad. And then the next, like, few weeks later, I went to the ER multiple times, and I found out that I had a severe spine infection called discitis vertebral osteomyelitis, and it's a fatal infection that can cause, like, your spine to collapse. The orthopedic surgeon said I'm lucky that I'm not paralyzed, and I had to have a PICC line, which is a semi-permanent IV put in my arm, and it goes to my heart, and I was on daily infusion of antibiotics for 6 weeks, and I had it pulled out 3 months ago and decided to sign up for this one as a redemption. So it has only been, I was on complete bed rest. It's only been 3 months since then, and decided to run this race, and I finished. It was dead last, but I finished.
Wow. You finished. That's all that matters.
Yeah. So that's my story.
Yeah. And bro, you ended up what? Back in the hospital?
Yeah. Well, that's. I think this one is self-inflicted and a little less like a punch in the face, because this is more just like, I feel more badass. I finished. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's me.
Well, I'm Max Bennett. I'm from Geneva, Florida. I work at the local German restaurant in town. And yeah, so I guess my running history is, I've been running since I was a little kid, and it's been kind of a passion of mine. But I guess I started running longer distances 4 years ago when I ran my first marathon. And I only run 2 marathons, and decided I needed something a little bit longer, a little bit bigger. And then I started running these ultra distances. And Run Bum was my first ultra I ever did. I did the Forgotten Florida 45 when it was a 45 miler. Realized I did okay at that. Got, I think, 7th or something. And decided to keep trying my distances and keep going farther, and finally ended up running 100, his 100, and winning last year with a 3-way tie. But this year was a little different. None of my friends were there this year, so it was crazy. But that was one of my best runs to date so far. So
yeah, because obviously you got the back-to-back championship. I guess for you, what was the differences from this year and last year?
I really liked the course going in this year. I felt just a little easier. I guess I really liked the dirt roads at the end to run on. Was a good time to gain on the dirt roads. It was easy running. That was pretty amazing to have those at the end. But also the full moon was like a really cool thing about this year. I think it threw a whole new vibe into running at night. So
yeah, and of course, you know, you had to come back.
Definitely had to come back.
And I guess for the rest of you guys, you know, what brought you out to the Forgotten Florida?
Well, this is Jessup. I told you this was a redemption for me, but it was kind of a sign when I saw that it started at Lake Jessup. So I was like, if that's not some sort of sign, I don't know what is. But I was actually looking at doing the 50 miler last year, and it was sold out. And so this was kind of on my radar anyway.
So I just happened to have a free weekend that particular weekend. And I knew that of anything I want to do, probably other than, you know, see my girlfriend, was to find some kind of race to do, because I don't know when I potentially may be able to do one again. So I, you know, I hopped on Ultra sign up, and sure enough, there was a run. And even though it was, 7 hours away, like, I was definitely going to be signing up for it and taking on that challenge.
This is like one of the only local races, like, for us. So I feel like it was something that I had to do 100 miles before I do Cruel Jewel. So just to know what it's like to be on your feet for 100 miles. So that's why I signed up for this. And I know that he puts on good races. I know that there's usually a lot of support and, you know, lots of people out there.
Definitely. Yeah, there was a ton of support out there.
Yeah. And I didn't know this at the time, but I really liked all the out and backs because you were never alone for too long. And even though I wasn't in any like trouble or anything, I feel like if you were, at least there was somebody that would be like, hey, are you okay? Going on, whatever, if you needed something.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the out and backs because you could see how far somebody was behind you also. That was pretty cool.
I never had that.
Yeah, well, I could kind of see how slow I was going at the end, and I was like, well, they're still behind me, so that's good.
I think there was one time I was going through the from the 50 mile to the next aid station, and it was like 2 a.m. or something, and I was going and I thought I got lost, and I see what I think it was Max coming the other direction, and I was like, am I going the right way? And you go, no, I'm in first. I was like, okay.
I remember you then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. I had my headphones and I always try to pause it going by people and give them a cheer.
Yeah, yeah, you're cruising.
Yeah, Max, how did you even find out about the Forgotten Florida?
I guess I was just looking for local ultra marathons, and it happened to pop up literally the closest one to where I lived, and it's in my running backyard. So just looking for the closest one, so I didn't have to travel too far to run one of these.
Yeah, so I guess we're kind of to the point that Michelle's bringing up with, you know, you have to have training for a thing like this. Did y'all have a specific game plan or like a goal in mind?
I usually try to keep a goal of as many miles as possible. That's was my goal usually when I was running. But this year was a little different. I had my second son was born in June of last year, and I guess helped me slow down a little bit, to say. So I was running less miles, it seemed like, but I always had the goal to run as many as I could. It seemed like I ran bigger miles at one time instead of like steady miles over the week.
What was your biggest miles for leading up to it?
I did 145 mile day in early January, and that was the biggest miles up to it. But I was running 30 miles a week, like 130 miler. A couple times I ran a marathon in the morning before work a couple times, but I wasn't consistently running big miles at all. Consistent miles.
For me, mine was, I had to be extremely strategic because I mean, I had, I had a lot of training up until September, but then I was on bed rest. And I mean, I went from being really healthy to completely below baseline. And so I not only did I have to recover, but train as, you know, like I had to do them simultaneously. And so part of my strategy was I stayed within a kind of zone two, like I was told to not go over 140, a heart rate of 140. And that kind of became really frustrating because I couldn't do too much. So it was like a lot of walking. And then as I progressed, I mean, I only had 3 months of real training. I would actually say a month of real training. The other two were literally just me walking and trying to increase, like just moving. And then I signed up for the Croom Zoom as a kind of milestone to see if I was on the right trajectory. Because if I couldn't do a 50K, there was no way that I could do 100 miles. And then, so I did the Croom Zoom, and then I did some miles after that. But like my kind of plan was keeping one bigger, like I started right after I had my pick line pulled out. I went 10 miles and then 15 the next week, and then 20. And then I dropped back down to 10, and then I went to 25. So it was like kind of increase and then drop down to rest and then increase. And then 2 weeks before Forgotten Florida, I did two marathon back-to-backs just to see how I could do with my legs. And that was kind of my biggest days. But a lot of my, I was recovering in Montana, and so a lot of my training was in Montana. And I mean, I was in the snow in the mountains. We're talking like some days I ran at negative 30 degrees. So I at least had some extreme elements that were kind of preparing me mentally more than anything. And I think that's like my body, it got messed up anyway. So it was just regardless, I needed a strong mind to push me through.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, the mindset.
For sure.
Yeah, so I was kind of the same. I was like going up a little bit, down a little bit. I also ran Croom Zoom. I just did the 50K, and then like the day after I ran 20 miles, and then the next week kind of a little bit less, and then progressed up again. So I did a lot of 50-mile weekends every third weekend. So like 30-ish on Saturday and 20-ish on Sunday leading up to it. And just try to stay consistent as possible with everything else going on in life.
That's the hardest part, I think, is staying consistent.
For sure. I had done a 100-mile run and dead ultra trail party. It was a 100-miler on New Year's Eve in Alabama. So I felt pretty good in that. So I felt like, throughout January, I really just had to maintain. So I was maybe doing 20 to 40-mile weeks. And I was also doing a lot of rucking with, 30 to 50 pounds to kind of get through this Ranger School instructor certification course and prepare, for the rigors of this life that I'm about to, be into. So I felt like I was in more of a maintaining phase leading up here to Forgotten Florida.
Yeah, when I was getting coached by Pat Reagan, he always had me run with, I would usually run with the vest on, or at least my Flick with some kind of weight. But yeah, I think a lot of people underestimate like how valuable running with some weight on it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that running with weight, time under tension, it really does it plays a pivotal role, especially when you get out onto like the start line and you have your running vest on with your hydration and your snacks and anything else you may need to carry with you on the run.
Exactly. But, so I know there's a mandatory shuttle to the race. How did the shuttle go?
I thought that was pretty odd at first, only because it was my first time experiencing anything like that.
I mean, it went smooth. We got there literally, got on the last bus, and there was only a few seats left, so it was pretty nice, and I think I actually fell asleep on it.
I likened it to like if you're headed to prison and you're sitting in the bus, and now you have to think about your decisions for an hour.
Say goodbye to your loved ones.
Yeah.
It's the basic training bus.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I kind of liked it. I felt like I got to meet more of the people before we raced on the bus. I got to see some of my heroes, local heroes that I see on Strava and everything. I had to talk to some of them on the bus. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a really unique opportunity to kind of, brush shoulders with people from different places and, hearing their stories. And yeah, definitely a good mingling opportunity.
Yeah.
I think it was interesting because you're sitting on the bus for an hour going, I have to run back this whole thing.
I felt like maybe some people were more familiar with it because I noticed, there were groups of people who weren't even, wearing their vests or didn't have their shoes on yet. They were riding there without their shoes on. Meanwhile, like I had my shoes on, my vest was on, like as I was ready to go.
Yeah, same.
So I was almost wondering, you know, was that part of their preparation as far as allowing their body to be more relaxed for an additional hour instead of already, you know, having your feet strapped in, having the weight on your body, you know, for the ride over?
How did you guys sleep the night before? Because I slept terrible.
Oh, man. So I had to drive 7 to 8 hours from Fort Benning to get to Christmas, you know, to Florida.
Yeah.
And I, you know, my girlfriend and I found just like this Airbnb to pop up a tent for like 6 hours to get some sleep before having to get up and, you know, hit the packet pickup. But it was great. The weather was amazing. I don't know what it is about sleeping outside, but I always feel so refreshed after.
Oh yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah, so I was up and alert. Fortunately, wasn't stressing too much. Was just there for a good time and was ready to get on with the day.
I did not sleep well the night before. I had to share a bed with somebody, and like a little tiny bed at an Airbnb. So I was like, we were both trying to like fit on the bed together.
Wait, somebody? Was it like some random person?
No, it was my friend. But like, oh. That would be even a better story, but no, it was my friend, but we were like sharing a Airbnb with other people, and they were just like, yeah, we have an extra room, you know, just stay with us, which was really nice, because at first when we were looking, everything was really expensive, and we live like an hour and 45 minutes away, so it was like, you don't really want to get up that early and have to drive before either.
Right, yeah, there are definitely limited options, so it's like, unless you wanted to like camp out like what I did, it was, you know, $20 for like a little camping ground. You were definitely, you know, paying for that Airbnb for sure.
Yeah. And the hotels were at least $150 a night.
That's what I ended up having to pay, was like $160.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to think about the area too. Like Orlando's like right outside where we were. So it's almost as if like it was a longer weekend, you know, it would have been really cool to finish the race and then like have an additional day or two to, you know, either go to the beach or, you know, go to Disney World or something.
Yeah. I don't know if I could walk around Disney.
Yeah, that would be part of the experience, is to, you know, limp around Disney, maybe with your belt buckle on.
Yes.
Rocking the Hokas because your feet hurt so bad. But yeah, so obviously finally you make it to that race course, and you know, what's it like at the start line? You know, what's the vibe like? You know, what's going through your mind?
Energy is high for sure. You see so many smiles out there.
Yeah, I agree. Everybody was so excited, just ready to go, and you know, friendly, like just chatting, running around, kind of, you know, it wasn't really like, you know, like a big, okay, here's the start. So everybody's kind of like, where are we going to go? Which way are we going to run? What's about to happen?
The energy was, it was an awesome energy. It felt a little different this year. How we started in such a big field with a lot more people, and knowing that you're coming into the first trail and it got really small with that many people.
Yeah.
It had a different feel right at the beginning, for sure, for me.
Yeah, it funneled almost immediately.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. Like, obviously, the race kicks off, and boom, you know, your head, Culpepper, Bronson, Joshua Creek, but, you know, before you hit that Seminole Ranch. And how did those first 30 miles go?
They were rough. At least, like, me personally, even after reading the runner's handbook, and, you know, there was mentions of, you know, running on grass and being intentional with your pace and slowing down so you don't overexert yourself too early. I think I underestimated the effects that the grass and the sun exposure would really have that, like, those first 30 miles.
Okay, yeah, the first 30 miles for me, I would say for me, were a little rougher than expected. I ended up walking even before I ran a full marathon this year, and it was surprising to me. But it was, I thought it was really beautiful with the sunrise kind of on that side, like the sun just coming up, and running through those cow fields was a pretty epic time this year.
Yeah, it was also scenic.
Everything changed all the time.
Yeah, I heard those cow fields were utterly beautiful.
That was a good dad joke there.
No bull.
It continues.
Doubled.
Oh, I keep going with cow puns. They're great. They're effing great.
For me, interesting because my mind is not only racing, like, regarding, you know, trying to finish this thing, but I also put kind of a lot of pressure on myself to, my plan is to make a really good video out of this.
Yeah, so document it.
Yeah, and so it was, and like, I know, Josh, you said you've seen some of my videos. Like, mm-hmm. I definitely put a ton of effort into making them good videos. And so that's like what I'm constantly thinking about the whole time is like, how do I make sure to tell this story as real as possible, as beautiful as possible, and authentic as possible? And so, and then also entertaining, you know, like as somebody who is going in the direction of a career in YouTube, like it has, people need to care if I want to make a career out of this.
Right.
And running is pretty freaking boring to watch unless you're a runner.
Yeah. And, so how, and that can be, you know, draining in and of itself, like
totally.
Mentally constantly processing like what kind of shot or what kind of angle can I, you know, grab from this scenery, what story can I tell.
So I carried a 360 camera pretty much the whole time. One thing, so it can be draining, but it also can be a blessing because it allows me to redirect, you know, if I'm in misery or pain, I can redirect and go like, hey, this is gonna make a better story.
Yeah.
And B, it's just like, that's I have something else I can focus on. But what actually ended up happening was really cool. A few days before the race started, I posted in the Facebook event, like kind of introduced myself and what I was gonna. I posted one of my videos, the first attempt at the 100 miles, and a few people saw it. And I had said, if you see me out there, say hi. And around mile four, I'm out there running, and all of a sudden I hear, is that Jessup? And I'm like, whoa, what the hell? and so then I ended up, there's this girl, Brittany, and I ended up running, talking with her for a little while. She said she watched the video, and then she was part of a running group and ended up, there was her and two other people that I ended up running with that they were doing the 50 miles. And that was super cool because, you know, my biggest fear and concern going into this thing was, you know, I didn't have much training. So I did the math and I, you know, came out to, okay, I have 35 hours to do this. In theory, I could walk it. It's like 21 minute miles. But then out of nowhere, he's like, we got to speed the first half up because we got right. A thermal rest. So that was just running through my mind the whole time of like, I can't walk. I have to run. And
right.
So there is like, you know, this constant of, am I going fast enough? Am I going just slow enough too? Because I need to be slow so I don't lose all my energy. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think, really helpful having them push me because they probably were pushing a little harder than I would have by myself since they're only doing 50 miles. And so that was really big for me. And plus it was nice because the whole first 50, I didn't listen to music or anything. So then once I got on my own, the music was a treat. And yeah, so it was cool. And we actually, right after the Devil's Swamp, you know, we had to, everybody, I think the fastest times were, we had to be out of Seminole Ranch before sunset. And so we were doing good until we hit that swamp. None of us were expecting that to be as slow as down as hard as it did. And we were so close to cutoff. Like we weren't sure if we were cut or not, especially because we had started a little bit late. So the whole time was a little bit,
yeah,
we barely made it. And, it was good because it was like a good adrenaline of like having to push ourselves. But I think there was a moment in there where, I remember having a kind of an internal dialogue, where I really had to overcome myself in the sense of like, you know, all I had to do was slow down a little bit and all this suffering would have stopped. I would have been cut. It wouldn't have, nobody would, you know, nobody would fault me.
That would have been the easy way out.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that was probably one moment that I really remember and take from this. was like, I had to go. No, fuck that. You have to go. And, you know, we had to run and we barely made it. But that was like just mentally one of those moments where I really had to overcome and find out kind of, you know, what I'm made of.
Yeah, that's a real fine line that I think everybody does. You know, they walk and they find themselves in at some point in these ultra long runs. It's like, I could take an easy, you know, an easy left, but, you know, it's hard to continually decide and continue to push to do what I set out to do.
That's so true.
And the suffering just stops. It can be over. You can go home. You can go to Disney World.
You can go to, that's it.
You'd be so bad the next day, though. That's the thing that I kept thinking about was like, yeah, I feel terrible right now, but tomorrow I'm going to feel fine, and I'm going to be so pissed at myself if I stop.
Right. And it's like they say, you know, you're only as good as your last repetition, or you're only as good as your last game. So, you know, if you go out like that, you know, that feeling will stay with you, and it's going to gnaw at you until you ultimately decide to do another run and, you know, somehow redeem yourself from, you know, allowing yourself to bow out.
And I think I had like, you know, that voice that's like, oh, well, once I got past where I got cut the last time, it was a constant like, oh, well, you've done better. And you're already ahead. It's already a win. And it's like, no, but I didn't do what I set out to do. So I had to keep pushing. And, you know, it's that voice that keeps coming up that you have to shut out. Like, I'm not listening to you today.
Yeah, Michelle, how'd that first 30 go?
I felt good the first 30. Like, I thought it was great. It was beautiful. I took it as slow as I could. I just kept telling myself, you gotta last. I've never gone that far, so I'm thinking, you know, you gotta go slow. So I walked a lot, you know, took my time, just tried to keep a slower pace, and I felt great. The first 30, I felt great. And I felt great past the halfway point. But.
Yeah, and that's the big thing is, you know, you hit mile 50.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're halfway done, but how did y'all feel at the halfway point?
Halfway, I felt great. Like I said, my biggest regret, I didn't change my socks ever, and my feet just stayed wet. And so before I hit the next aid station, which was what, 59, my feet were just covered in blisters.
Oh no.
And so that was like my biggest regret. So every step like was just pure pain after that for the rest of the last 40 something.
That sounds rough.
Yeah. But and that's like my bit, like I know that's exactly where I made the mistake, was at 50 I should have changed my socks, but they didn't feel wet to me either, I guess. I don't know, like I didn't realize it, but then it was dark, it's cold, you know, they're not drying, you're not going as fast, whatever the case is. And that was my downfall for sure. But up until then, I felt great. Like I was, you know, like I said, taking it slow, taking it easy, so that way I could finish. I was kind of set for a time that I wanted to finish about, and I was on track until then.
When I got to the 50, I was feeling pretty good. I was about ready to change some shoes. I got into a brand new pair of Ultra Olympus and some new socks, and I was right on my time of 9 hours at 50 miles, so I felt pretty good on time. And after I got past the 50-mile point, you couldn't get out of it. You had to keep going for the full 100 after that. So.
Yeah.
Dedicated.
That was the big thing in my mind. My mind was still trying to tell me you could go home right now and do the 50 and nobody would care. And but I just made it there and just had to keep going. So
when I got there, the guy goes, do you want the 50 mile and I was like, no.
Yeah, I think it was mile 48, the last aid station, or not aid station, but like where the shuttle pickup was.
Yeah,
I'd gotten a fresh pair of socks. I was able to meet up with my crew vehicle, had some hot ramen, like got some noodles in me, so I was feeling good, feeling fresh. And right after the shuttle drop off, and just knowing that there were going to be a lot of flat roads ahead, just felt so thankful to be able to pick up the pace a little bit to make up for, you know, all of the like technical terrain, all of the, you know, mud and muck that we had to go through. So I felt really fresh, like hitting that 50 mile and then like turning around and, you know, chasing the last, you know, 50 from there.
Yeah, because after 50 miles, you've got Official, Charlie Lake. And, you know, at this point, now you're hitting 60 miles, 70 miles, 80 miles, almost 90 miles.
Mm-hmm.
How did those miles go before you hit that, you know, before you hit that final 10?
All of Charlie Lake was just really was swell. I think Max had mentioned it earlier, running under, you know, the full moon, which was a complete contrast to the first 30 where, you know, you were in the cattle fields exposed to the sun. So you're running under the sun the whole time. But out at Charlie Lake, you were just running those roads under the full moon. And it was so surreal. And everything was, the air was cool. You know, my legs felt fresh. Yeah, everything was just, it was amazing.
Did anybody else run without a headlamp on?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. It was like the best part, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
It was so cool to not need a headlamp because all you had to do was run straight.
Right. Running those roads. Like that big that turnaround was pretty cool. Running that straight turnaround. Just listening to the power lines.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So. Yeah, that was a really unique part of the run out at the power lines, hitting that that unmanned aid station and then just go do that loop.
I was feeling pretty good. I was running with this guy, Tyler. He got second, and we were running strong, run walking most of the miles. And those probably 70 through 80 felt like I was gaining energy or something. And Tyler finally told me to go without him. He'll catch up. And it felt like I turned on the afterburners on that part and just
you will not
flew down that road to the last aid station. And I thought I was on track to be under 18 hours. So I was trying to shoot for that and just cruising. So getting up to that last 10 miles was crucial on those nice roads. So
when you passed me, you were going pretty fast.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And I was still way, I don't remember where I was, but I was nowhere near anywhere being, you know, I'm still,
you guys,
like,
were in the woods, right?
Yeah, we were still in the woods. I was still in the woods. So
right.
When you passed
I was
me.
Trying to run 10 minute miles in the dark was kind of tough, but I was just going, trying to get that 18 hour mark and almost made it.
Yeah, doing 10 minute miles through the woods, like that's super impressive.
Yeah,
seriously,
it was impressive running past me. Yeah, exactly. I was like limping.
Well, that is hard to like for me is looking down and then looking up, and I got lost a couple times, had to backtrack because like I remember trying to reach in my bag to eat something because I was just trying to stay up on calories, and the next thing I know I look up and I'm like, oh shit, I don't see anything.
There are no blazers.
Yeah.
I had to do that a couple times too. Always make sure you're looking around. Yeah. If I wasn't constantly looking around, I have to stop, turn around where I was, and then keep going again.
So that got me a few times. That's why when Max was coming the other direction, I'm like, am I going the right way? I know when I got to I think it was Fishhole, that's the one where it goes in the two different out and backs, right? There was a lollipop off of Fishhole.
No, that was Charlie Lake. Yeah.
So yeah, right there I was able to take a pacer because I had one crew with me, and he wasn't able to pace at all because otherwise who would move our car? So once we got to that one, he was able to go with me on the 20 miles there, and I had a nice burst of energy too with those power lines, and we like out of nowhere I just started sprinting going like 12-11 minute miles, and then and I know I was getting close to cutoff, and so I was telling them like I'm earning my aid station stop. So it was just a push as hard as I could to make a little bit of time for the aid station stops.
Yeah, Josh, unlike Ranger School or, you know, doing some land nav, lighthousing is legal here.
Yeah, that's a fact. It's definitely a different scenario and a whole different vibe. nothing to feel guilty about here.
Yeah, but, you know, let's talk about those final 10 miles. It's like, how many times have we done a 10 miler? You know, for a casual long run.
Yeah.
You guys are grinding it out. And obviously, Max, you know, you're going for that back-to-back champion spot, you know, for all of y'all. How'd those final 10 miles go?
I think I had mentioned something like that at the fishing hole aid station. Like, you know, how I've run 10 miles or I've run 12 miles plenty of times before. Like, I've done this countless times. This is just going to be another one of those times, even though at that point, like my feet were really aching, my legs were fatigued. I think at that point you're really just on a mission, especially knowing there are no more aid stations between you and the finish line. So at that point, like, yeah, head down, and you know you're on a mission at that point.
It literally felt like the longest 10 miles ever for me.
Yes. Yes.
I was so ready to get it over with, I was pushing so hard. I was like skipping aid stations, just like, I don't need anything, I'm just gonna go. And it felt like forever. I thought I was gonna be there before I was, and it was like the biggest mental game is that last 10 miles, because I was just trying to keep myself moving at a fast pace and not walk at all. And I finally got service again to get some tunes on, and that really helped on that side of Tosahatchee, that you get service heading back towards Highway 50. And just, man, it was like the longest 10 miles, but it went quick, but forever.
It was miserable for me. I was out there for 33 hours total. I was hallucinating at that point. I noticed, like,
were you by yourself?
Yeah. So when I made it to the last aid station, somehow the guy, I was sitting at the car, I had an hour and a half, left till cutoff, and the guy came around. He's like, "Oh, you're still here. The sweepers have already gone through." And I was like, "Wait, what?" And he's like, "Yeah, they've started clearing the,
Oh geez."
And so I was like, "Well, how am I supposed to know where to go?" and you know, I'm like, I was hallucinating. I was like, the bark on the trees were breathing. and somebody ran out there. We'll get you to where they are, and then you can kind of keep going. So, like, that whole section, it started raining on me, and it felt so long. My feet were destroyed at that point. I know if, like, I was moving, I wasn't quite hallucinating. Occasionally, I would think that I would see animals run across the trail, but definitely there was nothing there.
And just then, a log.
Yeah. And then if I stopped at all, it, like, just the whole world just started moving around. I was tripping. But yeah, I think halfway towards the second half of that last push, I took the headphones out and just, like, went in my head. I mean, it was a really big moment for me. Just kind of tried to reflect as much as possible and take it all in.
Yeah, especially after such a long, like, run, and in those last moments of,
like, out doing something consistent.
All right, so yeah, the last 10 miles, my feet were just I don't even know how I was moving. And my mom was actually at the last aid station, and she's never come out to see me run, nothing. She's never ever been there. And so she was there, and my sister-in-law was there. And they just kind of were like, "All right, get back out there, finish it up." And I was actually somehow able to run a couple of the first miles going through, run, walk. Probably not really run. I was moving faster, though, at least.
You always think you're running when you're.
Yeah. It was like slow motion, but it at least got me there a little bit faster. And then there's the sign and it's like the gate is 1.4 miles. And I'm like, oh my God, that's all we have left. 1.4 miles. And you get there and then you still have to do that whole road.
Yeah, that was a long stretch
too. I was like, oh my God. I thought that was gonna be like the gate, the finish line was 1.4 miles. So I was like, yeah, let's go. And then we got there and I just kind of felt like defeated, but I mean, what are you gonna do? You gotta finish.
And obviously, you know, obviously you guys make it across that finish line. What was it like to cross that finish line?
It was awesome. Just when you're at whatever, 10 miles to go, like, you know, you're going to finish. You really have nowhere to go unless you fall in the woods or something. But you're just like, I for me anyways, like every single emotion that I had all day long, like stress, anger, all those things, they just were gone. They just came out, whatever. And it was just, I mean, it was really awesome for me. I've never done it before. So, like, it was a really huge accomplishment for me.
Wait, was that your first 100?
Yeah, this is my first 100.
Woo! All right.
Yeah, this is my first 100. I mean, it was like, you know, I've never tried 100 nothing. So, it was really crazy. I've only done one other. Like I said, I did a 50, and that was Cruel Jewel. And that's the only, you know, those are the two biggest races I've ever done.
All right, there we go.
Yeah, it's always a flood of emotions, especially when you begin approaching the finish line. I don't know, usually every time I like approach the line, I always start to tear up just a little bit, because being able to just to persevere for such a long event, like, it's such a testament, you know, to the human spirit. And not everyone, you know, could fathom doing something like this. And just the fact that we're able to complete it, it's always, you know, such a awe-inspiring reminder of what we're capable of if we just give ourselves the opportunity to reach new heights.
Yes,
for me, it just was the craziest feeling. I never thought I could put down a time like that and actually achieve one of my goals so much better this year than other times. And it was just a crazy emotions going through me. But I was glad it was done, for sure.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's also good, like a validating feeling that everything you've done leading up to it, it was for a reason. And, you know, there was a purpose to everything, you know, long runs by yourself. If you happen to, you know, design a nutrition plan a certain way for months leading up to it.
Yeah. Everything that went into it, all the missed whatevers and long runs by yourself. I spent nights at the gym where I would leave work at 5 and go run until midnight on the treadmill.
Yeah. And everyone along that path and that journey who, you know, would constantly ask you, you know, why do you do this? Why do you do this to yourself? Why do you, you know, why do you act so disciplined? It's because you have that goal in mind. You want to achieve, you know, something like this. And it really is a validating experience.
That's a great way to say it. It really shows that training actually did something, for sure.
Yeah, for me, going across that finish line, like, it was incredibly powerful, because, I mean, like, all my doctors did not think that this was something that could have been done. I mean, literally, when the last appointment I had with the orthopedic surgeon, I asked him, like, when will I be able to run 100 miles again? And he said, probably a year. And I was like, well, I signed up for one in 3 months. So, I mean, like, even go before I started, I had to get that out of my mind that, you know, the odds were truly against me in doing something like this. And I had to fight that demon the entire time. So crossing that finish line was like, it was pretty big.
Yeah, and it's just nice. Sean has a really nice belt buckle for this race.
It's pretty epic.
Yeah, it is epic. I don't know about you guys, but he happened to be at the fishing hole aid station when I came back, and he showed it to me, and that just like lit this fire in me, like I have to finish this run. I will be going home with that buckle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a cool one to have, especially for the first one.
Right?
I mean, it might be against AR 760-1 to wear a belt buckle with the uniform.
Yeah, it's against regs for uniform, but, you know, it's something I can maybe carry in my pocket and just, you know, flash to the others whenever they start talking crazy about me running long distances.
That's what the big leg pocket's for.
Exactly. We don't have big cargo pockets for nothing. They're for ultra buckles.
But, you know, I guess we can start wrapping it up with, you know, what was the good, the bad, and the ugly out there for the Forgotten Florida 100?
Well, the bad was definitely the mud.
For sure. the amount of water and mud.
Yeah, that was definitely the bad.
Yeah, having wet feet for what seemed to be half of the first half of the run, that was bad. Not a good time.
No.
Yeah, I mean, also going into Rhabdo is not really great. I would put that on the bad.
Yeah, I'd probably put that on the top of your bad list.
Yeah.
And the ugly.
Exactly.
I mean, my feet were pretty ugly after too.
My feet are so awful. My feet are like so I can't even wear my own shoes. I have to wear somebody else's shoes that she's a size and a half bigger than me because they are just so swollen and blistered. I can't even put shoes on.
Same. I'm wearing like slippers or
yeah.
I've been trying to sleep with my legs elevated. It seems to be working a little bit, but my feet are still swollen.
Yeah, I sit at a desk all day, so I'm like with my feet on like boxes, and I'm gonna get I have a lymphedema pump, so I'm gonna try that tomorrow.
Definitely lost a couple toenails for sure.
Oh yeah.
mine are on their way there.
Yeah,
the good, it was a beautiful course. Like it was so pretty during the day. It was beautiful weather. Like perfect weather. It perfect got a little weather. Hot like right before noon, and that was about it. It wasn't,
but that wasn't even that bad. That
no.
was like, it was like, good. It was nice crossing all those streams and being able to cool down a little bit. So,
and the different types of terrain, I think that made it pretty cool. It's like, you know, you'd have like a wide open space, almost sometimes felt like the Sahara.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into the woods and almost feel like a jungle. And it was super cool.
And then there was like a beach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Next to the river.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Did anybody see any wildlife?
I saw a deer. That was it.
Deer, one deer. Yeah. I saw a gator. I saw like the eyes of it sticking out, but it was in the water.
And then, of course, we all saw the cows.
Yeah.
Blocking the trail.
The cows were blocking the trail for you guys?
Right, yeah. When I came up there, they were right in the middle. I had to kind of scare them out of my way.
We didn't get that. The person I was with was looking forward to waving her hands in the hairs, yelling, yeah.
You just got to keep moving.
Yeah. There it is.
Oh, man. It was cool at night. I definitely heard some owls that seemed to be pretty close.
Yes.
And I think I heard some wolves howling. I don't know if it was in my mind.
I heard something like that too, but I was like, I'm just going to pretend like it's not out there.
I definitely heard it, but I wasn't sure if you guys have wolves here then, huh?
I have no idea.
No. I didn't. I didn't think you had wolves here. So
I have no idea.
I didn't think they had bears there either. But you know, there were warnings about bears.
Yeah, there's black bears. I'm from Montana.
They're like dogs here. <I'm not.
laughs> In Florida, we've got hunting dogs and coyotes.
Oh, these animals I could deal with. Grizzlies are a different story.
Yeah.
Yeah, aside from the weather, I think the volunteers at all the aid stations, top-notch, top-tier. Yes.
Amazing.
Production team, too. They were taking a lot of photos and video out there running with us. That was cool.
Yeah, it was very, very good. Like, you felt good out there with everybody out there. Everybody was
always
awesome.
And I think the camaraderie with The runners. I mean, even like you had said, Max, you taking your headphones off and saying hi when you go by. I mean, I tried to do the same thing, and there was a lot of people that did that. And I think, you know, meeting these people that I went with for the first 48, like, that was incredible. And those are, you know, you spend that much time on the trail with somebody, like, you feel like you've known them forever.
Yeah, so
that is so true.
Especially now that you have that shared hardship.
Yeah, this Florida Ultra community is pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah, I'd agree with that. It was my first run in Florida, and you had nothing but good things and good experiences out there from, you know, Run Bum and all of the runners. Just the entire day was exceptional.
Concur.
Well, hey, y'all, this was awesome. Well,
yeah, for sure.
This was a good time. Appreciate it.
A little rehash, a little reminiscing.
All right. Awesome.
Thanks for having us. Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was awesome.
Yeah, feel free to reach out anytime you want to do this again.
Hey, Jessup, what was your YouTube channel, by the way?
It's Jessup11, JUSUP11.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, it's nice to meet all of you.
Like, yes, nice to meet all of you.
And congratulations, everybody.
Yeah, for real.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
And there we have it, from the stories from the Forgotten Florida 100. Now, not only is it a 100-miler, but there's also a 50-miler, a 15-miler, and an 8-miler. So it's a perfect opportunity for those at all different levels of, you know, trail running and just running in general, you know, and for those who are just curious about, you know, what trail running is all about. So you know it's going to be a good time at the Forgotten Florida. And hey, you know, up next, I've got a chat with some runners who are out there at the Mountain Mist. This is a race on my bucket list, so I'm pumped to hear all about it. Then, of course, this weekend, I'll be race directing out in the Green Swamp for the Skunk Apes Revenge. You know, the 60K, the 30K distance. So you know we're going to have some stories from the Skunk Apes Revenge. And, of course, Death at Dupuy. That's also taking place this weekend. And I'm telling you, these runners, they are going to go for miles. And hey, you know, with that, until next time, happy trails.